thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing it to us today. May it be a blessing to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our scripture today is from Matthew 8, verses 14 through 17. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases.
We've been in a series, a three-week series, looking at the three healing narratives in the first 17 verses of Matthew 8 over the past three Sundays. We started out with Jesus making the leper clean and Jesus responding to the faith of the centurion and healing the centurion's servant. Today we come to the last, which begins with these words, when Jesus came into Peter's house. There are some significant things going on about this statement. In all three of our healing stories, they begin with this phrase, when Jesus, and it always introduces the dramatic action to follow. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, then a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came asking him for help. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. Jesus touched her, and the fever left. It is not an accident that Matthew paints for us a particular sequence of Jesus' healing activity in these 17 verses. And they become narrower in geographic scope and more personal in nature. When Jesus came down from the mountain, we see Jesus at work within the region of Galilee. Jesus heals the leper as a testimony to Israel that the one who fulfills the law is here and active. In Capernaum, a town within the region, Jesus finds saving faith in a Roman centurion and declares that faith in who Jesus says he is and trusting that Jesus can do what he says he can do is the kind of faith by which both Jews and Gentiles enter the kingdom. Now Jesus steps into a particular in the town of in the region of Galilee. This was not just any home, but the home of Peter. We believe that we may know where Peter's house is. There's the ruins of it. We think it's likely in Peter's house because there was an octagonal-sided church built around this house that dates from the 2nd or 3rd century. This was a home Jesus frequented many times. Based on the Gospel of Mark in chapters 1, 29 through 35, there is some speculation that Jesus may have lived with Peter in his home. If that's true, then we see a picture of Jesus coming into his home as well. Matthew gives us no indication that Jesus knew the leper or the centurion prior to their request for help. Not so with Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law may also have lived with Peter. Doubtless, Jesus not only knew her, but loved her and considered her a friend. He may have even had a nickname for her, as Jesus seemed fond of doing. Remember James and John, sons of thunder. Peter, you're a rock. So maybe her nickname was Rock Mama. We'll never know. However, so that I don't have to say mother-in-law throughout the entire message from this point on, I will just refer to her simply as Mom, as is often our custom in referring to our mother-in-laws. Matthew tells us when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Mom lying in bed with a fever. Let's not rush past this phrase as mere introduction so that we get to the good stuff. He touched her hand and her fever left. Before the miracle, two important things happened. First, Jesus came into Peter's house. Jesus came. Jesus was physically located in Peter's house. Peter's house represented his extended family living under his roof. Now, because Peter had submitted himself to Jesus as Lord, Jesus enters this home not as a guest, but as his Lord. What does that mean for us in this very moment? This is what it means. Jesus is present with us right now. Jesus said, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am." We call ourselves a family of God because that's who we are. We are children of our Heavenly Father, and we belong, body and soul and life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who is present with us right now. Just as Jesus came into Peter's house, not as a guest, but as Lord, Jesus is present today with our church family, not as our guest, but as our Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote, "And God placed all things," and I'm going to do away with the pronouns and just put in the nouns so that it makes it very clear. "And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is Jesus' body." Now catch this, that is powerful. "The fullness of Jesus." Get that? The church is Jesus' body, the fullness of Jesus, who fills everything in every way. You remember Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Paul is, I think, playing on that. He's saying, if you see the church, you have seen Jesus. Because Because the church should be the fullness of Jesus, just as Jesus was the fullness of the Father. If we can only get this in our souls, that every Sunday the real presence of Jesus is with us, it would change everything. If we really believed this, we would not miss a Sunday. Because disciples of Jesus long to be in the presence of their Lord. If we really believed this, we would not be anxious when the service goes longer than expected. Because disciples of Jesus long to linger in His presence. And that desire to be with and linger with our Lord overrides everything else. There's a sense in which we cannot see the visible presence of Jesus, or hear the audible voice of Jesus, or feel the physical touch of Jesus. Yet there is a sense in which we do see Jesus, hear Jesus, and touch Jesus when we are together. And I want to demonstrate that right now. So I want you to find somebody. You may have to get up and move just a bit. But I want you to find somebody, and I want you to take their hand like this. Go ahead, you can do it. You can do it. Find somebody. Paul, get up there next to Pat. Pat will take your hand. Somebody. All right, take their hand and now look at them and say, I'm really glad you're here today. I'm really glad you're here today. Amen. Now, isn't that something like Jesus would say to us coming in? Take our hand and say, I'm really glad you're here today. We have just seen and heard and touched Jesus in each other. You see, if we believe that Jesus lives in each of us, when we encounter each other, we can experience Jesus if we open ourselves up to the possibility that Jesus is flowing from you to me, and from me to you. Imagine how Sunday morning worship and all of our activities together could change if we simply show up expecting to see, hear, and touch Jesus through each other. Each of you in this room today carry for me a personal word of instruction, an encouragement, an expression of care, a reason to give thanks or praise that Jesus would like to express to me through the uniqueness of you. There's nobody that can say it or do it way you can. Likewise, Jesus has a word of instruction, encouragement, an expression of care, a reason for thanksgiving and praise for you that He would like to express to you through the uniqueness of me. This is the great gift that is available to us. If we will deeply believe two things. First, that Jesus' presence is real among us when we gather together. And second, that the life of Jesus in us will flow through us to each other. When these two beliefs get into our souls, then our time together as a church family will be transformed from duty to delight. Returning to our passage, Matthew tells us, Jesus saw mom lying in bed with a fever. Let's linger a bit on these words, Jesus saw. The discipline of philosophic phenomenology teaches us that to perceive an object as it is in reality, we must intend the object. In other words, we must, by an act of our will, turn our attention to that object and focus upon it to make it our concern. The Greek implies this is the kind of scene Jesus engages with mom here. The word translated saw in this text means to pay attention to concern oneself with, to understand by perception. What does that mean for us today? In this moment, right now, it means this: Jesus is present here with us. It means Jesus sees us as we are, right here, right now. Jesus sees us and perfectly cares about us and perfectly understands us. He sees, cares about, and understands each one of us as we really are right now. And He sees and cares and understands us as a church family as we really are right now, gathered in His presence. What does it mean to you? With all the challenges that you face right now, to know that Jesus sees you exactly as you are, and that He cares for you exactly as you are. Perfectly. And He perfectly understands you exactly as you are. How does knowing this move your heart, your mind, and your body? What does it mean for us as a church family, with all the challenges we face together, to know that Jesus sees us as we are right now, and He understands us perfectly just as we are right now, and He cares for us perfectly just as we are as a church family right now? If we know this deep in our souls, that every time we walk through these doors, Jesus is with us. He sees us. He cares for us. He perfectly understands our present reality. How might that change what it means for us to gather here each Sunday? Jesus is here. Jesus sees. Jesus perfectly cares for us. Jesus perfectly understands us in our present reality. Perhaps we could rightfully say, wow, that's enough for us. I mean, what more could we possibly want than that? And yet, Jesus extends to us more. We've talked many times about how in Jesus' day there was an understood connection between the eyes and the heart. What entered the eyes was believed to enter the heart. We see a picture of that in this passage. Jesus sees Mom as she is in reality, lying in bed with a fever. Mom was so sick she could not get out of bed. Jesus saw her, understood perfectly her condition, cared for her, and out of the depths of compassion of his heart, without waiting to be asked, Jesus goes to her, touches her hand, and immediately the fever afflicting Mom was gone. Like Mom, we are in the position to experience a compassionate miracle from the touch of Jesus when Jesus is present with us, when he sees, understands, and cares for us. Then Jesus will move to touch and heal us exactly in the way we need to be touched and healed. That is what is open to us every Sunday morning if we will believe that Jesus is who he says he is and will do what he says he can do. Mom then got up and started to attend to and serve Jesus. I doubt she did it with a begrudging attitude. She probably was not saying to herself, "Oh great, I'm healed. Now I've got to get up and cook supper for Jesus. No recovery time. No, I'm no better than a slave in this household." The implication of the text is that out of a gratitude for being made completely whole, Mom was willing and able to be attentive to Jesus' needs, just as Jesus had been attentive to her. We may be tempted to think, "Oh, if Jesus touched and healed me like that, I would get up and serve him with joy and energy. If only Jesus would touch me like that." My brothers and sisters, take heart. Jesus has touched every one of us exactly like that. You see, if we are a Christian, it is because our Heavenly Father saw us as we are. You see, we are all the leper who cannot cleanse himself. We're all the centurion's servant, paralyzed and racked with pain. We're all Mom, feverishly wasting. All of us are sin sick, without any hope of curing ourselves. God sees us the way we are, and without waiting to be asked, he moves upon us and draws us to Jesus. You may recall the story of Hagar becoming pregnant by Abram. Although Abram's wife Sarai gave Hagar to Abraham specifically for that purpose, Sarah was not at all pleased when Hagar became pregnant. For her part, Hagar despised Sarai, and Sarai mistreated Hagar so badly that Hagar ran into the desert The Lord found Hagar in the desert. After instructing Hagar to go back to her mistress, the Lord gave Hagar the promise that her descendants would be too numerous to count. In response, Hagar said, "You are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me." Jesus said, "No one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws them." Our Heavenly Father saw you and He saw me. In His grace and mercy, our Heavenly Father drew us to Jesus without us asking. By the Holy Spirit, the Father worked in us to place our faith in Jesus, to believe that Jesus is who He says He is and will do what He says He can do, so that He has worked in us in such a way that of our own accord, but having been energized by the previous work of the Holy Spirit, we're able to say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I am willing. Be clean." And God works in our life in such a way where we can say, "Lord, just say the word and I will be healed." And Jesus says, "Go and let it be done to you as you believed it would." Jesus saw us in our sin sickness. Jesus gave His body to be broken and His blood to be poured out as the pure, perfect cure for sin sickness. Our passage closes with people bringing to Jesus family, friends, and neighbors who were demon-possessed. Jesus cast them out by the power of His word. And Jesus healed all the persons who were brought to Him. Matthew wants us to understand that Jesus came for this. Jesus came to heal our sin sickness in all of its manifestations, body, mind, and spirit. He drives that point home with a well-known quote from the prophet Isaiah. He, that is Jesus, took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. The Apostle Paul put it this way: in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Jesus comes to us. He sees us. He understands our condition. In His compassion, Jesus gives His body and blood for the sin of the entire human race. In His grace and mercy, the Father draws us to Jesus so that we put our faith in Jesus. Jesus touches us and makes us whole. For our Father chose us, saw us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in our Father's sight. We have been healed from our sin sickness, and in response, we get up. We get up and attend to and serve Jesus. We get up not out of duty, but out of thankfulness for the healing we have received, for the healing we are receiving, and for the healing that will be made complete when we see Jesus return in glory. As we sang this morning, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead. His name is Jesus. For Jesus, every sin-sick soul is a person worth touching. Let us pray. Father, the cry of our heart is that we want to be so thankful for what you've done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that you have healed our sins and soul. And we can never be more grateful, because what more can we ask for? For we have forgiveness in this life, eternal life to come. You have taken care of all that we need in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so much more. For you have come to give us life and to give us abundant life even now. But that abundant life starts with the healing of our senses. And so, Lord, though we may not preach like Peter, and we may not pray like Paul, help us to tell the love of Jesus to others and say,